I should have mentioned, remember my father in your prayers, he has pneumonia. He went to the doctor down in Wayne County, and they told him he'd go back to the hospital in Somerset. And he don't like Somerset Hospital. It's kind of, if you're around here, people distrust Ephraim. If you're in Somerset, everybody distrusts Somerset. And it amazes, that's kind of, I guess, a cultural thing. But anyway, he wouldn't go. They told him to go. He had some enzymes that was up. May indicate something going on with his heart as well. So just pray for him. He's stubborn, and I probably will get there too as the older I get. I don't know. I'm almost careful now. All the traits I used to criticize my dad about, suddenly I find them in my own life. Anybody else do that besides me? Pray when I look in the mirror and I don't look just like him. Amen. And I just pray that God keeps me thinking different, okay? But if you would pray for him and pray that he is feeling better. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter number 15. Been dealing a little bit with life of Samson. We broke up a little bit for Thanksgiving and various things, but I want to continue to look at his life just a little bit tonight, because one thing that constantly jumps out at you is Samson is a man that is a very passionate man, but he's a man whose passions are very much unbridled. He's uncontrolled. He's not sensible. You couldn't sit down to reason with Samson, by no means. There's a lot of things in Samson's life. He is a man that acts upon his impulses. He's very impulsive. He's very impetuous. In fact, I'd say this, he's very brazen. He's very selfish. He's rash, he's harsh, he's fleshly, and many characteristics, he's very ungodly. But yet you find him in the heroes of faith. And I'll try to, when we get to the end, summarize probably the reason why he's there. But he's probably an unlikely candidate. If I was to list people that were heroes in the Bible, he would fit the bill for strength. I mean, this guy could probably whoop the Hulk with a switch. Okay, this is the guy that wouldn't have no trouble with any modern day superhero. I mean, it's just amazing the things that Samson did. But how did he do those things? You see, the life of Samson is not about the strength of a brute. It's about the power of God. You see, if you study his life and you come up to the other thing, you stand back and say, wow, Samson, you missed it. You need to be standing back and going, wow, who God is. And that's who we are to see in this text. So look in chapter 15, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass within a while. Now notice that, within a while after, and I'll come back and try to jolt your mind to where we're at. In the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. When he set the firebrands on fire, he let them go into the standing of the Philistines, into the standing of corn of the Philistines, and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Edom. Let's pray. Father, we are truly thankful for the Word of God. This is not just a story for little kids' Sunday school class.
God, all the Bible is equally inspired. And I believe that this passage is here to help us to grow as Christians, help us to check our motivations, and help us to be careful with the things we do. As Newton said, there is an equal and opposite reaction to the things we do in this life. Father, I believe that to be a spiritual principle as well. And Father, oftentimes we see things in the physical world that point us to truths that we find in Your holy Word. God, help us to be careful that we don't bring about a reaction as a result of our anger that we don't want to have to deal with. God, help us to check our motivations and see if they are right as we try to serve You. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I said a lot of negative things about Samson. I guess you could say that Samson, somehow he was able to get a lot of girlfriends. That's one thing you might be able to say halfway positive, because and that's actually another flaw of Samson. One of the biggest flaws of Samson is that he couldn't keep his eyes away from lusting after Philistine women. And probably the reason because their culture was probably a little less godless, we might say, and the women were probably dressed more provocative than the Jewish women. And so he just fell lusting after the women. One of the things he consistently stumbles over in his life. If you go back and you remember, God had a great purpose in mind when he sent the angel of the Lord and announced to Samson's mother, listen, you're going to have a son. He said that he was to abstain from the fruit of the vine, that he wasn't to cut his hair, he was to take the Nazarite vow, wasn't to touch a dead carcass, he was to be separated not only throughout his life, but from that point on in her womb, she was abstained from those things because he was to be an instrument of God to deliver the people of Israel from the hands of the Philistine. So you have to agree, Samson had a divine purpose in his birth, divine purpose in his life, and that was to rid the troublesome and the difficult and the adversaries of the land. That was his job. That's why God put him here, and to be that individual, he was in essence to be a hero in the land of Israel. So we see that. And well, you know, right off the bat, you'll find it seemed he done well. The Bible says that he grew and the Lord blessed him. You'll find that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson at many times, the Bible tells us, verse 25 of chapter 13. But chapter 14, you see many signs of trouble because he goes down, he sees a Philistine woman, and he looked around, he said, man, she's good looking. That's what he said in the Hebrew. I don't know if that's what the Hebrew says or not. Some of you can smile later, okay? He says, she's smoking hot. That's what he thought. In fact, he told his mom and dad, I want her. Get her for me. Why? She pleases me well. She pleases me well. He desired her. He wanted her, and it was a physical attraction. And he said, I want her to be my wife. And so, in fact, his parents seen this in him, and they said, listen, why isn't there ever any of the women of your own people that you want? Why is it you always want strange women? Why don't you take to the daughters of thy brethren? And he said, get her for me. She pleases me well. He was very self-centered, and he really didn't care what was right, what his parents thought, what God thought. Samson was most concerned with what he thought and what he wanted. There's a lot of people like this in this world. Really don't care what God thinks, and sometimes they even come to church. Really don't care what God thinks because they hold their own opinion equal with God. Man, we better watch ourselves, right? And know the difference between opinion and conviction and truth. Let me just move on just a little bit. The Bible tells us here that Samson, we find that process of time come that he was going down to Timnath, and as he's there, a lion jumped out to attack him, and you remember the story, and it was probably a mountain lion more likely, but he took it like it was just a baby goat, and he just skinned that thing back just kind of like a rabbit, no problem. I mean, he slayed that. That's how powerful he was when the Spirit of God came upon him. And so the Bible says that he went down to talk to the woman. She pleased him well. And after a time, we don't know, sometime, but the carcass of the lion was laying there. As he comes back, maybe a month or so, or 3 or 4 weeks, we don't know. He comes back and he looks at the carcass and sees his handiwork and looks inside, and bees have built a hive in there and put honey in there. And you'll find that he's been hanging around vineyards. Now he's touched the dead carcass he should never touch, and that broke his Nazarite vow as well. And so we find that he took this honey and he went and he gave to his parents. He goes back to Timnath, and as he's there, he meets, and basically they're having a 7-day festival and celebration of his marriage. That's what it is. It's been about 7 days, they're celebrating, and he'll finally consummate it on that seventh day. And he's down there, and he don't even have any of his own friends. He has Philistine friends, 30 fellows, basically, that volunteered to be his buddies for that week of festivities. Probably drinking and carousing, doing everything, breaking every vow he could possibly. Why did he do these things? Let me just tell you something. Gideon thought that, I'm not qualified to do anything. Gideon always felt inadequate about everything. Samson's problem wasn't inadequacy. Samson thought he was invincible. He thought none of these things were bothering him. And there's Christians that do things today and they think, it won't bother me, it won't affect me, maybe somebody else, but not me. Samson is a pick. It's got to tell us something. It bothered him, and he was the most powerful man in the world, probably that ever lived. He's the most powerful individual that ever lived, and yet it affected him. And so we find that he went down there and he spent time, and he got to feeling a little bit rambunctious and arrogant, and he put forth a riddle to these men that was there partying with him for his celebration week right before he got married, and he says, "Listen, I'm going to give you a riddle, and here's what." It is. If you can answer the riddle, he said, I'm going to give you 30 changes of garments. And he said, but if you can't answer the riddle, I want you to give me 30 changes of garments and 30 sheets as well. And so they agreed to that. And he asked the riddle. He said, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And the Bible says that 3 days they couldn't answer that. So you know what they did? They went to his wife and they said, if you don't tell us what the answer to the riddle is, we're going to burn you and your father's house. That's what we're going to do. We're going to burn you and your father's house. And she nagged him until finally Samson gave in. And in the Bibles you read that they come to him, and on the seventh day before the sun went down, they said, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion? And Samson's reply was something. He said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, he says, listen, you had not found out my riddle. Man, I want to tell you what, Samson here was furious. You know what he does? He goes and gets their garments, but he goes about 26 miles or 23 miles away. Once you get this, he takes off 23 miles away, visits the city of Ashkelon, which is a Philistine city. He slays 30 men there in that city and takes their garments and brings them back and gives them to these men. Now, Samson is in a rage when this takes place. Now, let's think about this. He travels 23 miles, slays 30 men, gathers it all together, travels back 23 miles. I want to tell you, he's some kind of man. I mean, listen, this was a guy that God just was able to, and God, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he said, well, but he was supposed to slay the Philistines, wasn't he? Yeah. Won't you know that? But his motivation was wrong. He wasn't doing it for the glory of God. Why was he doing it? Because of his own wrath. He was doing it of his own revenge. And you're going to find consistently in his life, yes, God in his providence used Samson to push back the Philistines out of the land and kept them from being oppressive upon the Jewish people for 20 years. But listen to me, Samson's motivation was never right from the beginning. It's always about self. Even when he gets ready, in his last act, as he's standing there with his eyes gouged out, and he puts his hands upon the pillars, he knows what he's doing. He prays that God, just one last time come upon me. And no doubt he was concerned about the glory of Israel and his people and worried about them. But you know what his last prayer was? That I might get revenge for them gouging out my eyes. And he brought the house down. He killed more people in his death than he did the whole time that he lived. He's an interesting individual. And I think we've all met some people that we stand back and scratch our head and we have a hard time figuring out. And sometimes I think, man, God, why would you deal with a person like that? And I get to evaluate Grant Hardwick's life. And you know what I think? Why would God put up with me? Amen? See, we think we're high and mighty, but sometimes it's easy to examine somebody else and see all the flaws. But when I look at me, let me just tell you something. You see the motivation here. Why? You'll find the motivation. What happened to Samson was he was so mad that he left his wedding party and did not even consummate the marriage that night. When they plowed with his heifers, he said. And he didn't come back for several months. And finally, after just stewing and getting over all that anger and everything he had, after he comes back several months later, you find in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15 that it was during the time of wheat harvest, and he brings a peace offering, brings a kid, the Bible says, and he says to her father, I'll go into the chamber to visit my wife. And he says, whoa, you can't do that. I've already given her to one of your companions, one of those Philistine companions that he had there. I gave her away. And so, after several months of trying to calm down, this is what he comes back to. And when Samson realizes this, he is furious. Now, he left her at the altar, what we'd say in this day and age, but he comes back and wants to consummate it months later. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. What he's saying this time, I have a right to get even with them. This time, I have a right to not only get even with them, but to punish them. That was his motivation. Do you see that? His motivation was not God's glory and to bring peace and stability to God's people, but rather his motivation was revenge. And so we see Samson's wrath. And it's amazing. And you see what it ultimately is. It's nothing more than provocation, because in verse number 4, Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Catches these foxes and took firebrands and turned them tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the tails. And you say, foxes, they were probably jackals according to that land. They called them foxes. What was a jackal? A jackal was a mixture between a wolf and a coyote. Either way, it was a pretty tough creature, and he handled, listen, he caught 300. I want to tell you something. This is the guy you want to go hunting. Amen? You go deer hunting and you look and a 12-pump buck's running away and you say, I can't get a shot on it. Samson said, I'll just run it down. And he'd bring it back carrying by his antlers with six others. I mean, this kind of guy he was. And so you'll find that he takes these foxes, jackals, it doesn't matter to me, he ties them tail to tail and puts a fire between their tails, 150 of them tied together, and sets them through the fields. And it was the time of the wheat harvest. It was dry, and it set everything on fire. Not only did it destroy the wheat harvest, but the Bible tells us that it destroyed the shocks, the standing corn, and the vineyards, and the olives. It destroyed everything. It decimated. But what was he doing? What was he doing? I'll tell you what he was doing. He really realized that he may have thought he had motivation. But you see, when we lash out with anger, I want to tell you something. We're probably going to provoke somebody else. What by and kick a dog? The dog's laying there. Leave it alone. Amen? I walked up on the porch one time. I looked. The dog's laying in the doghouse. Looked at me like he didn't care. Everything's cool till I knocked on the door. And thank goodness I was younger and I jumped plumb over the top of the thing, man. And I was able to get back to my vehicle. I mean, there was a fence rail right there. And that dog, he didn't look that big. But when he come out, he grew. Amen? You know what I'm saying? You ever had that experience? I should have just left everything. I don't tell you. It's the dog that's barking and carrying on, so saying you don't have to worry about that thing right there. Man, he about got me. So, listen, I want to tell you that sometimes you just need to leave some things alone. I'll say more about that here in a minute. But all he did when he done this, he wasn't doing it for the glory of God. He was doing it because he was mad. And he wanted to hurt them. He wanted to punish them. And he was going to punish everybody in that belonged to a Philistine town. And all you do is see escalation then. Verse number 6. The Philistines said, who hath done this? They said, listen, Samson's done this. Why has he done that? Well, that Timnite, you remember him? He was supposed to have been the son-in-law of the Timnite, but when Samson come back, he gave his wife away to another companion. And boy, the people said, we'll get even with Samson. See, here's what I want you to understand. He thought he had motivation because he was mad. All he did was provoke other people to anger. And as a result of provoking other people to anger, it escalates. Isn't that the way life is? We think we're just in what we're getting ready to say to somebody, and all we do is make them mad. They say something, guess what? Then somebody else pushes back. That's the way it goes. And so we see what happened. It escalates in a hurry. And here was a woman that wanted to be burned, didn't want her father to be burned in her household, but here's what ultimately happens to her, because, listen to me, you'll find here that things are going on, and things are going awry in his life because he's not walking with God. And I want you to see his retaliation. Look in verse number 7 and 8. And Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet will I be avenged. I will be avenged to you. Well, about his wife, he's mad that he viewed her as property. Somebody's done this, I'll be avenged of you. And after that, I'll cease. You see, he didn't care what God had planned for him in the future. He didn't care. It wasn't about God in the present. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. That just means that you say, what's mean hip and thigh? Head to toe, he smote them with a great slaughter. That's what that verse is saying. He says, I will be avenged. That's what his motivation was. I just want you to see this constantly through. It'd be glorious if you'd see in the Word of God that Samson said he was jealous for God. He was jealous for his people. We don't see that. He never had a pure motivation for anything that he did. It had been glorious if he did it to defend the honor of his family. It had been glorious if he done it to protect his family. We don't see that. Every time, his motivation was about self. He had been offended. He didn't like what somebody did. And so, he took it out on people. His motivation was always wrong, and therefore he acted in wrath and in vengeance. I heard a story about a man who went to the doctor. He was very sick. Went in to see the doctor, and the doctor come out, and he said, listen, sir, he said, I tell you this, he said, but you have rabies, and you're in a bad way. The doctor went out, and he come back in, and the man was sitting there writing on paper, and he said, sir, what are you doing, writing your will? He said, no, I'm writing a list of all the people I'm going to bite. Amen? How many is there that? You know? Amen. My dad used to tell me this. He said, there's some people at the Kentucky Department of Treasury. He said, they better hope I never come down to anything terminal. I mean, that's, in the oil business, you'd understand, I've served other people too. But, you know what? We want to react in vengeance. We want to, all the time, we get offended. Listen, I got news for you. If we all reacted every time we heard somebody say something dumb about us, a false accusation about us, man, we'd be fighting all the time. Fighting all the time. I mean, you got to get to the point you let go in one ear and out the other. Let me give you a couple things, and I promise you I'm done with this tonight. Just a couple things. Number one, I believe this, you shouldn't kick the can unless you're willing to deal with what's in it. You better watch what you kick, you better watch what you move. There might be a hornet underneath that thing. There may be something in it that stinks. You may stir up something. What's the old thing? Don't stir the pot unless what? You're willing to smell it. And so what I'm saying to you, Samson, he was always willing to stir the pot. He's always willing to kick the can, see what's going to happen. Listen to me. As James 1:20 tells us, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He thought somehow that it was beyond him and he would be alright. Look in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs tonight, chapter 30. And I don't have to explain these. These are pretty simple. And I think most of us have read Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter number 30. Look at verse number 30. Well, I wrote the wrong one down. That makes me mad. But I'm not going to kick the can. Look in chapter 26. I'm going to run off that one. Proverbs 26:17. It says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. There's certain things you just need to leave alone in this life. You take it. There's a boy named George at the Galilean home, and George is mentally handicapped. Great, love George to death. But George grabbed a Weimaraner by the ears one day and started rubbing his nose with that Weimaraner. You know what happened to that George? He got bit right in the face. When I found this, you know what my text was for that next Tuesday chapel? My text was this: he that passeth by in the middle of the strife, belonging not to him, was like one that taketh a dog by there. I said, he's like George. They all got the message. Listen, I want to tell you what, if you start grabbing hold of some things you really need to let go of and not even touch, not even mess with, you're going to get hurt. And you see, we think it's all, well, we're strong enough, we can deal with it. The Bible says, as a madman casts forth firebrands and arrows and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Oh, I'm just joking, I'm just messing with you. The Bible says, where there's no wood, there the fire goeth out. Think about that. It says, where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. If we quit stoking the fire, guess what will happen? All the fussing and bickering and anger will go away. Let me give you this, number two. We need to ask ourselves, what's our motivation in life? I want you to understand tonight that here was a man who was doing what God wanted him to do, but he was doing it with the wrong motivation. Do you think he'll have any reward when he goes to heaven for those things? I don't. And that's me. Look at me funny. I want you to think about this. You can be fulfilling God's plan for your life. You can be doing what God wants you to do and not be doing it for the right motivation, and you're going to lose out when it comes to God rewarding you. You see, brother, you believe it? Yeah, I do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 12 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. The Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And we know the foundation is Jesus Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If every man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One day God is going to test and expose what our true motivations were for everything we done. Samson, yes, he did a lot of great things, but I never found where his motivations was right. Maybe in the beginning, but even in the end, the last thing he prayed is he might get avenged for his eyes. What I want to say to you, if we learned two things tonight. Number one, we need to learn that the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness. The wrath of man working off the righteousness of God. And number two, I thoroughly am convinced tonight we need to make sure our motivation is what it ought to be when we serve the Lord. It's not enough to do the work. The motivation has to be right. What are we doing it for, and who are we doing it for, and what's the purpose of it? Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. God, there's lessons in there when we look at people's lives. And Father, we may think how Samson may have messed up. But God, I look at my own life, and I've messed up many times, and you're still patient with me. God, I'm thankful. Even David, who's a man who would just do some things that's unthinkable at times, but yet you said he was a man after your own heart. God, I'm thankful you're a forgiving God. I'm thankful you're a patient God. I'm thankful, God, you deal with us as with children. God, if you deal with us that way, help us to deal with others in the same patience and in the same kindness that you have shown us. May we be a demonstration and a mirror of your love here in this world. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet.